Welcome to Simmer Down.
Simmer Down.
I'm Brenda Anderson.
And I'm Libby Summers.
And it is spring and Easter and our Passover, whichever you are into. And we thought we'd talk about what is a traditional meal, what do you always have for Easter, and go from there. So, Libby.
It's been beautiful in Savannah, hasn't
it? It is gorgeous, and the flowers are amazing. And
the azaleas popped, what, 2 weeks ago? I mean, it's been a while.
Actually, they were about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
They were in full bloom.
Gorgeous St. Patrick's Day here.
And let me just say,
aside from the drunks.
In the green.
Aside from the vomit on the street.
Oh. And whatever else. I hated it that they were in bloom St. Patrick's Day, because every Easter growing up, we would go to Forsyth Park after church and have our picture taken in front of the azaleas every year. So now they're blooming earlier.
They won't be blooming.
And I'm thinking, what are the kids going to do when they've got on their little Easter hat and their white patent leather shoes and their crinoline slip under their dress and there are no azaleas?
Do parents still do that with their kids? Do they get them all dressed up like that?
Don't they? Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Girls have bows
in their
hair. I
try not to look at children, Brenda. You know that.
I know. Yes.
I had dinner with some kids last night, actually, and their parents.
And how'd it go?
Yeah, I had dinner with some kids. If I don't have to do that again anytime soon, it'll be fine with me.
Well, Libby, I'm here to tell you, girls still do get dolled up.
Okay, good.
And boys still wear seersucker.
Anthony did. Anthony still does.
Okay, this is what I love for a man and a boy. I love a fabulous Brooks Brothers seersucker suit, a white pinpoint Oxford shirt and a bow tie.
Love it.
I just think that is the...
White bucks?
Oh, yes.
Gotta have white bucks.
I'm telling you, when Robert dresses like that, I'm in.
Uh-oh!
I love it.
X-rated. It's 50 Shades of Grey podcast right now.
Did y'all do that?
Oh my gosh, we always stood out in front of the house. There's a million of them with our Easter baskets and... I'm the youngest of three girls, so it was quite a flurry of activity on Easter Sunday morning.
I cannot imagine.
I know.
Hair, dresses, slips.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about Easter food or spring food. What do you want to talk about?
All right, what do you cook?
For Easter, in our house, typically always lamb and a little ham on the side. Two things with the ham. A, I grew up with ham, so we always have to have a little ham. And I love all the ham leftovers. But Josh and I look forward to a great leg of lamb on Easter. And then I always make this wonderful orzo dish with feta cheese and spinach. And
it all sounds very Greek, doesn't it?
It does sound very Greek, doesn't it? Whoopa!
I like it.
How about you?
I started probably about 30 years ago doing a pork crown roast.
Yum.
And I remember seeing a picture in a magazine, and I wish I knew what magazine. I didn't save that. I still have the recipe that I took out. And I remember thinking, that's so beautiful. I wonder if I can do that. And, of course, being married to Robert, I said, honey, can you get me a crown roast? And he did. As y'all know, he's a grocer, and he's a trained butcher. And I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. You know, I was 20-something years old, and or maybe I was 12. Telling on myself. And it turned out beautiful, and I was so proud of it. And it was on a platter, and it was just, you know, it was gorgeous. So I've done that every year since. And we do the same thing.
How do you prepare it?
You don't put it in a deep roaster, just a roasting pan. And you put a little vinegar and water in that and season it, salt and pepper and garlic. But you put tin foil in it.
Okay. Inside the middle. Well, that holds its shape.
That holds its shape. Then, in the last 30 minutes, you put the stuffing. And the stuffing has apples and...
I don't get the vinegar water.
I am telling you, because you make a gravy later, it is the most amazing gravy.
So
oh,
all
my
your
gosh.
Drippings are going in there. So you're not tinting the roast at all, so it's not like in any way steaming with that.
No,
with
it
that
doesn't.
Moisture.
You don't tint it. It's completely
it's
open.
It's just to season your renderings.
Yes.
And for your
gravy.
And
I'm telling you, that's the best gravy in the world.
Yum.
And it has dried apricots, apples. I put sage-flavored sausage in it. It has fresh sage. It's just amazing. I can post that recipe.
Let's put that up online. Because
okay.
I think a pork pork crown roast is a very easy thing to do, especially, I mean, in my book, I show you how to tie up a crown roast, but you have your butcher do it. You don't
have to tie it yourself.
But it's a very showy thing.
It is. And you're so proud of yourself.
And it's always delicious. Always delicious.
But we'll have probably 4 or 5 ribs left over.
Nice.
So then we'll, you know, I might just do it like a pork chop one night with the leftover gravy because I double the gravy.
Okay. Smart. You can never have enough gravy and potatoes. I'm sorry.
You can't. It's
double
so
it. Always.
Good. What's your side dish that you love with your lamb?
Well, it's that orzo dish. And I'll tell you what, here's the good thing about that orzo dish.
Yeah.
It's orzo and cream and feta cheese and wonderful things. But here's the thing. It's a great receptacle for leftover ham, too. So you can chop up your ham, throw it in your leftover orzo, throw it in the oven, and have a little bit of a casserole dish later. And I'm all about what you can do with the leftover ham.
What else would you do with the leftover ham?
Oh my God, Brenda, millions of things. I love a ham bread, like a savory ham bread.
Yeah, you have a ham bread in your cookbook?
Yes, I mean, because I do it all the time. It's great for...
I've not done that before.
You know, there's, you know, ham spread, ham, like I love to grate up ham and make like a ham spread out of it for a sandwich.
Yum. Okay, my mouth is watering.
It's good stuff.
My mother used to always do with our leftover ham on Easter because she baked a ham all the time. She would do this ham and potato and onions thing.
Yum.
In a skillet with
just saute
carnation milk. Well, she would chop up an onion, saute the onion in a little butter. Then she would add the potatoes and a little carnation milk and then dice the ham in there. And it wasn't like a casserole. It was more like it was a little bit runny, you know, you have it in a bowl.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
With evaporated milk.
With evaporated milk.
Interesting.
It was really good.
I'd have to try that.
I might have to try it too. I hadn't thought about that in years.
Do you guys hide Easter eggs? Of course, you're in the house or outside the house. What do you do
outside?
Here
outside the house. When I was growing up, we did it at my Mama Max, which was my daddy's mom. And I have 32 first cousins.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And
that's
everybody.
That's a whole lot of pork.
It's a whole lot of craziness going on in that house. And she loved it, though, and it never fazed her. And we would hide Easter eggs there. And the adults would go out, or the older teenagers would go out and hide the Easter eggs, and then off we'd go. Well, I got to tell you this one story. My cousin David Poplin and my cousin Michael, there were some woods right behind her house, and then there was a railroad track. We would always go back there. But they said, Brenda and Julie, y'all come back here. There's some eggs back here. Well, we were dressed to the nines because that's what my mother did. And she made us keep our Easter clothes on until after the Easter egg hunt so our pictures would be good.
Okay.
And then we would put on our play clothes later.
Yeah.
Well, my cousins, they called us out there and there was this log that they had smeared with tar. And said, y'all sit here. We'll bring you the eggs. Well, we did. And our little Easter dresses and our crinoline slips were covered in tar. Well, we went running back to Mama Mac's house screaming and crying. Oh, my gosh. My cousins got the worst spanking. It kind of ruined the whole hunt. Because then everybody was freaking out because there was spankings and tears and dresses ruined and mothers mad at other mothers. And, you know, it was a mess. That's kind of like what Easter's were like.
Yeah, Easter's all about it at your house. The funniest Easter egg hunts are Anthony's because I lived in Vail, Colorado for 9 years. So Anthony, when he was his formative Easter egg hunting years, were spent in Vail, Colorado, where there's still, I don't know how many feet of snow on the ground come
Easter. Oh my gosh.
And we would just, I swear, Brenda, I'd open up the front door and toss out, we'd have to do plastic eggs. And we put like money or something in them, some little treat inside because you couldn't like hide fresh eggs. You could, but he'd never get them because he'd have to basically mine for gold. I'd throw them out into the yard just for they'd go down in the snow. Then he'd get his snow, like his ski gear on, and he'd trot around in the yard like digging.
No, literally.
Like he'd go under the snow and come up with like an egg, and it would be all this. He's got an egg, and open it up. And I mean, it was... When the spring came around, there were so many eggs once the snow melted that were just in our yard.
Well,
it was hilarious.
Okay, this is what I want to know. Did you still stand there at the doorway he hunted, or did you go out with him?
Heck no, I didn't go out with him. We just we're like, maybe there's some over there.
So you're standing on the porch.
We were all dying laughing, and he would love it. It just, I mean, it was an adventure for him. He had to, like, you know, climb Rainier to go to get an egg.
That's his heart. I mean, you didn't give it, like, that whole baseball throw, did you?
Oh, yeah, I went far with it. Girl, you know I could throw an egg. So, I as far as I could. Well, he would be out there for hours. Hours.
Did he come in for, like, hot chocolate or something?
I mean, well, after it was all done, he did, but...
You can't come back in until you found 20.
Well, he knew. I mean, you know Anthony. He likes the dollar. So, you know, one, we might put a $20 bill in. That was the golden egg. So he'd be searching for that. And most times he didn't find it till the springtime. But or till all the snow melted in the summer. But that was funny.
So he didn't get to wear little seersucker shorts and be all Eastery looking. I
when
guess
he was little, because we were still in Missouri, but no. No. We'd do sunrise service on the mountain, which was really nice. You take the gondola up and
be
beautiful, beautiful service on the mountain. And, you know, non-denominational, so it was just this wonderful, just kind of very spiritual moment. It didn't matter what your religious beliefs were. And he remembers that. Like, we talk about that a lot, about going sunrise service on the mountain.
There's a sunrise service on Isle of Hope at the marina.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go. Because the gnats will carry you away as soon as the sun comes up. I mean, you will not be able to concentrate on anything other than scratching your bites. So I don't participate.
Well, what if Jesus would have not come out if he thought there were gnats outside?
What if
he hadn't turned the rock away?
I don't think there were gnats in Israel. I'm almost positive.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Anyway, we hope everybody just has a great Easter and cook your favorite food.
It's just it's a wonderful time of year to be with family and friends. And springtime, I don't care where you were. In Vail, Colorado, it was gorgeous. In Missouri, it was gorgeous. And, you know, good God, I've lived in like 80 states. If there were 80 states, Brenda, I've lived in all of them.
You've lived
speaking
in all of them.
Speaking of states, you know, Josh and I are going skiing next week. I will get to go through... Because we're flying into Salt Lake and we're heading to Big Sky, but we have to drive because don't get me started.
There
were some mix up with tickets, but I'm looking forward to it because we get to drive through Idaho, a state of which I've never been to.
There was a state you've never been to?
Never been to Idaho. I'm over the moon about going to Idaho.
I've never been to Idaho. Well, there's plenty of states I haven't been to, but I've never been to Idaho.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Yeah.
That's exciting. Okay, you'll have to take pictures like everywhere.
Here we are in Idaho.
Welcome. I can see you now. The welcome to Idaho sign.
So we're going to give them your great pork recipe.
Yes.
And
Nick, can you do your orzo recipe?
Yeah.
Or
maybe.
A version?
Yeah.
Or is that ending up in another book?
I might have sold that recipe to someone, Brenda.
Okay. So you come up with your own orzo recipe.
Yeah.
And, do it with your baked ham, and I'll give you the standing pork roast recipe.
How about I post the ham bread recipe for sure?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody have a great Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Passover.
This is going to be up on the website this week. It's all about carrots, and we have some beautiful things with strawberries coming up and artichokes and...
Everything pretty.
Oh, my God.
It was just really, a really pretty photo shoot. Beautiful spring colors. Y'all are going to have to tune into Salted and Styled and check it out. And all those things are going to go great with your Easter meal.
And coming up in May, we did a series. We've done a collaborative with a magazine for their Epicurean issue, Savannah Magazine, actually. And we did a 20-page spread for them.
I still can't believe it's 20 pages.
Featuring six different people... things, you name it, ingredients, very much. It's our Salted and Styled team did it together, and I cannot wait for everybody to see. This stuff is a book, Brenda. I mean, just, you were there.
It's hard
you know.
For me to, I didn't go on every shoot. I wasn't able to, but the ones I went on, I was amazed how interesting the people were. And just so y'all know, it's not about restaurants.
No.
It's about people who do interesting things with food.
Yes. Artisans, custodians of food, you name it. Just
people who have a passion.
Anyway, it's six different features, and we blew it out with extra collateral with recipes and pictures that we'll be featuring on Salted and Styled. And each one of those features are going to run for 2 weeks on the website here.
It's going to be nice. And can I say my favorite?
Yes.
And I thought it wouldn't be the chicken people.
Yes.
We mentioned chickens on one of our other podcasts. Well, we lived it week before last, and there'll be a whole spread on chickens.
Backyard and chicken their farmers. Owners. Yeah, all the quirky backyard chicken farmers in Savannah, Georgia.
I want chickens so bad now. I didn't know they could be so beautiful.
There's a common thread that runs through the chicken farmers,
there
I think.
There is. Yeah. I do want to say that there was a little girl that we met, Mara, who she called herself an urban chicken farmer. And what was she, nine?
9 or 10.
10. Adorable.
Going
I cannot
45.
Wait. Yeah. Oh, so confident and so... sure of herself and precocious and
Brenda, she was the daughter I never had.
She was.
She was the daughter I never had. I wanted to wrap her in a blanket if it wasn't against the law and put her in the trunk and drive her home with me.
I'm glad I was with you to stop you because I'm afraid you would have done it. But I just can't wait for our listeners to see that.
And all the beautiful photography by Chia Chong and everyone.
The photography is amazing.
Oh my God.
Everything I've seen, it is amazing. You're going to enjoy it. We're going to have little bits, probably a podcast put together of some of the people that are featured.
Yeah, you all did of the people excerpts that are featured. With everyone from
so,
the podcast.
That'll be interesting.
It's nice to hear everybody's voice. It'd be cool to like, because on the website you'll see their pictures. It'd be nice to hear their voice.
I know. And I did not meet one boring person. You know, it was a glimpse into somebody else's life, which I liked. It wasn't like going to somebody's restaurant and looking at their business.
No.
It was looking at their life and their passion and... I don't know. It was very inspiring, I thought. And I hope y'all get inspired by it.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
All right.
Happy Easter, Brenda.
Happy Easter.
Happy spring.